I was reading recently about a bank robber who pulled out a gun and pointed it at the teller at the bank and said, "Give me all of your money or your geography." And the puzzled teller replied, "Don't you mean to say that your history?" To which the robber replied, "Don't change the subject." Right. The subject for this week is chapter one of the story, which is the first 11 chapters or excerpts of the first 11 chapters of Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament. Right. These chapters are known as the primeval or the primordial history in the Bible. And that simply means the first history. And it's separated from the rest of the Bible beginning at Genesis chapter 12 because we simply do not have a timeline. We don't have a time frame for those first 11 chapters in Genesis. Beginning with Abraham, right, in Genesis 12, Bible scholars, historians, and archaeologists are able to put together a time frame, provide consistent dates for the events that happen after that. But again, for those first 11 chapters, we just don't know exactly when they happened. In Genesis, the word Genesis, by the way, is a Greek word, and it simply means origins. This week, we read about creation. We read about fall, and I don't mean autumn, I mean the fall. We read about promise. And we read about the flood. And it all began with the words, "In the beginning." The start of the greatest story ever told, the saga of salvation, simply has its origins with those lines, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And that is not the scripture you see on the screen before you. We'll get to that in just a moment. And as we begin to work our way through the story, I want to lift up two different quotes to you from Augustine of Hippo. And I've shared this with you on numerous occasions, especially the first one. In his commentary on the book of Exodus, Augustine wrote, "The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed." And as Christian people, we always have to have that at the forefront of our understanding of reading Scripture, that it is through the cross of Jesus, Jesus's fulfillment of all of the Old Testament expectations, it is only through him, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, that we can understand the meaning, the intent of the Old Testament. The second quote, and I shared this Wednesday night, Augustine wrote, "In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity." That is, there are certain teachings in the Bible which are summarized, right, in the great ecumenical creeds of the faith, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Creed of Athanasius, the Chalcedon definition. These are the things that are non-negotiable within the Christian faith. These are things that we cannot, as Christian people, differ on. Right? It doesn't matter if you're Protestant, if you're Roman Catholic, if you're Eastern Orthodox, if you're Coptic, right? These are the things that we hold dear to ourselves, and they are essential to the faith. There are other things, though, that are non-essential, right? Mode of baptism, for example. Everybody agrees that baptism is important, but are we able to baptize babies, or is it only for adults, for people who can make a confession of faith? Are we allowed to sprinkle, or do we need to pour, or does one have to be immersed, right? These are differences. You know, we all agree that baptism is important, but we can disagree on the mode of baptism. The Lord's Supper is another example, and we'll talk more about this in a moment. But the key is that as the body of Christ, we are not to be divided over non-essential matters. There is no compromising when it comes to the essentials of faith. but there's plenty of room for compromise among the non-essentials. So how are we to understand the opening lines of the Bible? Remember, the new is hidden in the old, and it opens up the old. And we read, right, from the opening verses of John, and this was a part of the call to worship this morning, and this was our text for worship last Sunday, but it's those opening words in the gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Right? Those lines in the New Testament help to clarify what is happening in the opening lines of Genesis. In the beginning, God was present in all of God's fullness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? There was a time when creation was not, but there is not a time when God was not. And that's an important distinction. God is not a created being. Rather, God is derived from himself. God is eternal. And there's a term for this. If you were to take a theology class and look at the doctrines of God, the very first thing you would look at is a term called aseity. A-S-E-I-T-Y. And that word essentially means that God is self-derived. Herman Bavinck, a group of pastor friends, we've been meeting together for over a decade, for a week to study and fellowship and have a time of renewal. And the year before we meet, we agree on a topic to study. And this year we're reading a Dutch theologian named Herman Bavinck. And Bavinck has a great way of explaining the aseity of God. He writes, God is whatever he is by his own self or of his own self. And before there was a creation, God had a vision for what it should be. God had a plan. God didn't just throw out creation, right? God had a plan. God had a vision. God had an intent for what creation would be, what it should look like, how it should proceed forward. And in a very intentional manner, he spoke creation into existence out of nothing. And that is an essential teaching of the Christian faith. There was a time when there was absolute nothingness apart from God, and out of that nothingness, God spoke creation into existence. Now, what is non-essential here is the length of time it took for creation to come into being. Right? In the Bible, we read that there was 3 days of forming and that there was 3 days of filling. Were these six literal 24-hour days? Or was the cosmos formed over six eras or six epochs of time, taking place over millions, if not billions, of years? Is the earth 6 to 10,000 years old? Or is the earth so old it is ancient beyond knowing? This is non-essential. What is essential, though, is that God spoke it into existence out of nothing. Creatio ex nihilo. In Psalm 90 and in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read that 1,000 years to humanity is as a day to the Lord. That is, the creator of time is not bound by time. He is outside of time. And so his understanding of time is very different than ours. But whether you are an old earth or young earth person, what is essential again to faith is that God created out of nothing. Now, you may have heard of a famous atheist evolutionary biologist and ethicist named Richard Dawkins. I'm just curious, has anybody heard of Richard Dawkins? Wrote some really interesting books. And I was watching a YouTube video of him recently from some time ago. He's at Oxford University, and he is debating a Roman Catholic priest as to origins. And he just keeps saying over and over again, Dr. Dawkins does, that in the beginning there was these particles, and these particles, you know, were slamming against one another, and eventually they caused a great combustion, and this great big bang took place, and so on and so on. You've read about this in school. And as he was speaking this, the Australian priest began to chuckle to himself. And Dr. Dawkins was frustrated. He said, "Why are you laughing at what it is that I'm saying? This is a very serious conversation." To which the priest said, "Oh, dear Dr. Dawkins, my dear fellow, it appears that you are trying to make something out of nothing." I thought it was funny, right? You can't make something out of nothing. Something caused something to happen from nothing, and that was God. Now, please be aware that I do not believe, nor does the faith lift up drawing a line between faith and science. The Big Bang Theory, just so you are aware, was first postulated by a Belgian man named Dr. Georges Lemaître in 1927. He was a Roman Catholic priest, a mathematician, physicist, an astronomer, and he was trying to make sense of how creation could come to be if there was truly nothing in the beginning. See, the Big Bang Theory, which we learn about in schools as the predominant understanding of cosmology, is rooted in Christian teaching. And we read this week that on the sixth day of creation, the Lord God formed a man from the Adama, right, the squishy red clay. Then he breathed his life, his breath into the squishy red clay, and he became a human being. And then within that greater creation, within a specific spot in creation, God planted a garden named Eden, and that is where he placed this man that he had formed, right? We read that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die." I would like for you to think this morning, and it's going to challenge your imaginations just a little bit, but this is not something new that I'm sharing with you. This is an ancient teaching of the faith, but one that has not been lifted up for some time. But I would like for you to think this morning of the Garden of Eden and Adam,